Mother's Day to all you lovely ladies out there. We praise God and thank Him for His graciousness toward us, to bear children and to raise them up for His glory. There are a lot of things we go through day after day with our confidence, with our self-esteem, with just who we really are. And the song I'm going to sing is You Say by Lauren Daigle. When I heard the words of these songs, they went straight to my heart because they resonated every single feeling and emotion that I experience myself on a daily basis. I have to keep reminding myself of what God thinks of me. It's hard to look in the mirror and love what I see. It's very hard. But I have to look in the mirror and remember that it is God who made that person. And God loves that person very much. And I need to own that and believe that. So here's You Say by Lauren Daigle.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Once again, just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. In you I find my identity. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, say of me, I believe. Taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
Say I am yours,
today being Mother's Day, I thought it would be good for us to spend this time in the sermon looking at godly motherhood and what it looks like. Motherhood is essentially visionary leadership. That's what it is. Ever thought of it like that? It's essentially visionary leadership because a mother is looking ahead to a future outcome, and she's seeing things about her children that her children themselves may not be able to see for themselves. And then she's willing to do the right things now in order to accomplish that future outcome. And so there's visionary leadership, if you like, where a mother is concerned. And it might be costly now, but it has a desirable outcome in the future. And a mother has got her eyes set on that future. That's visionary leadership for you. And I love that, to think about motherhood like that, because mums have such a tremendous role in the lives of their children. You know, in church history, in about 331 AD, a little girl was born, and she grew up in quite a well-to-do family. They were able to afford a maidservant, and this girl was named Monica. And the maidservant was a Christian, she was a believer, and so she taught Monica the scriptures from a very young age, and Monica grew up and she put her faith in Christ Jesus. Then Monica was married to Patricius, who was a Roman government official, and he had a significant position in that city. And Patricius was not a believer, but he also was a man who had, well, a violent temper, and he had some excessive habits, and it is thought that he also cheated on Monica several times. But Monica remained a faithful and a devoted wife, and she prayed earnestly for her husband day after day, year after year. She prayed for him until towards the end of his life, Patricius gave his life to Christ. He put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it was about almost a 30-year period that she prayed for him. Incredible, isn't it? But Patricius and Monica had three children, and one of their children was Augustine. And Augustine was an intelligent young boy, and his parents gave him a classical education. And Monica was really hopeful that his education would save him from some of the excesses of his own father. But it was not to be. Augustine was quickly influenced by the world, and he took to, you know, excessive pleasure seeking in that sense. And he gave himself to the world. He completely threw himself into it, and he was drinking, and he had women, and he did all kinds of things. In fact, he's written a book called The Confessions, in which he speaks of his life and how depraved it was even. And Monica continued through that time to pray for Augustine. Augustine eventually moved to Milan in Italy to take up a teaching position. He took he began to live with a woman who was not his wife, and they had a son together. And so Monica decided to follow Augustine to Milan. And when she went over there, she got involved in the church. She was in the church of a pastor named Ambrose, the bishop of Milan. And she continued to serve through that church, and she was known, and Augustine speaks of it, she was known to take care of the poor and give alms to the needy. But she would also pray continually for Augustine. Eventually, her prayer and her generous, loving life, her godly example, had an influence on Augustine. And finally, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Monica died when she was 56 years old, in the year 387 or something like that. And she had the privilege of seeing both her husband and her son come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of her faithfulness, her prayer, and her godly life. Today, Augustine is seen as one of the greatest influencers in the church and in Western civilization, because he turned out to be a great philosopher, a thinker, and a theologian. And he had influence on people like Calvin and Luther, who were great reformers of the church themselves, and they themselves had a tremendous influence. But where did it all start? Well, it began with Monica's influence in the life of Augustine. Her prayer and her godly life had a tremendous influence on this young man. This morning, let me turn your attention to another person in the New Testament, and his name is Timothy, right? And we want to spend a little bit of time looking at the mother of Timothy. And it's a very similar kind of story, if you like. Now, Timothy himself was a significant character in the New Testament. He is mentioned in 12 of the New Testament books, including two of the letters that bear his name, 1st and 2nd Timothy, which were letters written by Paul to this young pastor, Timothy. He appears to be widely known and regarded and respected as a follower of Christ and a minister of the gospel. He traveled quite a bit with Paul and was a trusted companion and ally of Paul. And Paul even speaks of him as my true son in the faith. That's how Paul refers to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a great source of encouragement to the church, and we know that he was someone who genuinely cared for the believers. In fact, Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he writes this about Timothy, and I want to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. This is what he says about Timothy. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me." And I love this commendation. It's a commendation of Timothy. It's a reference letter, if you like, a character certificate that Timothy has from Paul. And this is what he says: "I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Everyone else is thinking about themselves, but not of the cause of Christ. But Timothy isn't like that. He's concerned genuinely for your welfare." And I think that's just amazing about this person. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23 tells us that Timothy was released from prison. And we don't know the details of that, but that's just another part of Timothy's life that we know, that he went through hardship and difficulty and even imprisonment for his faith. Now, Timothy was also a co-author of several of the New Testament letters that Paul writes. In fact, many of Paul's letters, he begins like this. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to the church." And I can almost imagine, you know, Paul and Timothy sitting and discussing the church and what they ought to write to them, of course, under the leading of the Holy Spirit. But together they would have discussed it and prayed over the church before writing to them. That's the kind of ministry that Timothy had with Paul. Well, all said and done, Timothy had a significant role to play in the early church, a significant role to play. But where did all this begin? Well, it began first with his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And we know this from what Paul says in his letter to Timothy. And I want to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And Paul writes over here. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." So he's writing to Timothy. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well." And from this verse and a couple of others, I would like to talk to you about what godly mothers look like. Just a couple of things. This is not an exhaustive sermon on godly motherhood or good motherhood. In that sense, there's so much more that can be said about this. But just a couple of things from Lewis and Eunice and Timothy's life that I want to be able to share with you this morning for your encouragement and your exhortation. And so here's 2 points for our reflection as we think about godly motherhood. Here they are. Godly mothers spend time teaching their children God's word. That's the first thing that we want to observe. And the second thing that we want to observe is that godly mothers model a sincere faith for their children. So number one, godly mothers teach their children God's word. And we see this in the life of Eunice. Now, it wouldn't have always been easy for Eunice. In fact, we know from Acts chapter 16, verse 1, where the narrator in Acts writes about Timothy. He says over here, "Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek." And so what we can understand from this is that that Eunice, Timothy's mother, was a believer. She was Jewish, she was a believer, but she was married to a Greek unbeliever. And so it would have been difficult in their home. And you know, I've seen this many times when one of the parents is a believer, one of the spouses is a believer in the home, it is challenging to continue to live out your faith. And the Christian faith is one that is lived outwardly, right? And so it is challenging in that sense. And so it would have been hard in that sense for Eunice to teach Timothy the scriptures, to help him in his Christian life, having an unbelieving father, if you like. But obviously, she is faithful in this, and she continues to instruct Timothy even in his young age, from his childhood. In fact, we see this from what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Let me read this to you. Paul is writing, he says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." You got that? And here's what he says. He's saying to him, you know, continue in what you've learned, because from your childhood you've been taught the scriptures. And we'll talk about that in a moment. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." And again, I think this emphasis is on something that Timothy has followed from his childhood, the words of faith and of the good doctrine. And I want to observe a couple of things from these two verses. Number one, it is never too early to start teaching your children God's word. It's never too early to start teaching them God's word. Timothy is learning it from childhood through his mother Eunice, the scriptures. And he says over here, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. It's never too early to tell your children Bible stories and through those to teach them doctrine. It's never too early to do that. Children have an incredible ability to understand and absorb truth with a sense of wonder and amazement. Children have an ability to do that. And so you as a mother ought to be engaged in this. As a primary part of your calling as a mother is to be able to engage your children in God's word from their young age. Spend time telling them Bible stories and teaching them doctrine. It's going to have a tremendous, long-lasting effect on their life. Secondly, I want you to observe from this is that your teaching of the word has the power to help your child remain faithful. Your teaching of the word in their childhood has the power to help your child remain faithful. That's why Paul says to Timothy, he says in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's saying, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it." In other words, he's saying, continue in what you, in your faith, knowing from whom you learned your faith. Continue in your faith because your mother Eunice was the one who taught you what faith is all about. And so Eunice's impact, what Paul is saying, is to be long-lasting in the life of Timothy. Continue in what you've learned from your childhood. What you teach your children, what you teach your children in their childhood is likely to have a lasting impact on their life. And this can be good and bad, by the way. If you teach them bad things, negative things, it's going to have a lasting impact in that sense on their life. But if you teach them positive things, good things from God's word in particular, it's going to have a lasting impact on their life. And so Proverbs 26, 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's visionary leadership right there, because right now you're putting in the hard work because you have a goal for them to walk in accordance with God's word later on in life. And then notice in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3, he says, "This word that you have learned is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, your teaching of the word prepares your children to receive the gospel of Christ and to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Your teaching of the word to your children from their childhood, even from their infancy, prepares them to receive God's word and Christ Jesus in faith. That's how powerful it is. Now, what this means is that you as a mom will have to be acquainted with God's word yourself. It means you will have to be in God's word. You'll have to be delighting in God's word and studying God's word and reading God's word. And as you are doing it with that sense of joy and conviction, and then teaching it to your child with the same joy and conviction, it's going to have a lasting effect on impact on them, because it's going to be real in their lives. Children will be influenced by what you teach them with conviction and joy. Well, it brings us to the second thing that we observe about godly mothers. So the first one was that godly mothers teach their children God's word. Secondly, godly mothers model a sincere faith for their children. Godly mothers model a sincere faith for their children. And so Paul writes to Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy 1:5, he says over here, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Timothy's sincere faith came from his mother Eunice, or he had it because of the influence of his mother Eunice. And I want you to notice that Eunice's influence was her mother, Lois. So you have these two generations of mothers. What an impact they had, right? Lewis was faithful and sincere in her faith. Eunice saw that and she was faithful and sincere in her faith. Timothy saw that and he was faithful and sincere in his faith. I love it. And godly mothers model a sincere faith for their children. Now, to be sincere means to be genuine, to be unhypocritical, to be unfeigned, to not be putting on an act in that sense, to not be a phony, to not be someone who has selfish motives while you're doing whatever good you're doing. And so both Lewis and Eunice had a sincere, genuine kind of faith. Now, what's interesting is, as I studied this, you know, the word sincere is used about six other times in the New Testament, right? And so I wanted to point out a couple of ways in which we can understand sincerity. And so here's the first one. It says that it's used to speak of the sincerity of a Christian through the genuineness of their love. And so Paul will write in Romans 12:9, he says, let love be genuine. And that word genuine, translated in many translations, means sincere, right? And so he's talking about sincerity of faith is connected to sincerity of love. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. We are charging people because we love them, which comes from a sincere faith. And so sincere faith is connected to a genuine love. And I can almost imagine Lewis and Eunice being incredibly loving women, because that's what sincere faith looks like. They genuinely cared for the welfare of people around them, which is exactly why when Paul writes about Timothy, that commendation, he says, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares for your welfare. He's writing to the Philippians. Remember, I read that earlier. Where did Timothy get that from? Well, from his mother, Lewis, grandmother Lewis and his mother, Eunice. They were genuine in their faith because they loved genuinely. Well, sincerity is also used to speak of the wisdom that comes from heaven. And so James 3:17 says this. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And so godly wisdom is demonstrated through the sincerity of a believer. Lewis and Eunice were wise women filled with godly wisdom. They were not hypocritical. They were not manipulative. They were not divisive. They were not gossipers. They were sincere and genuine, and they were wise in the way that they lived that out. Heavenly wisdom, the character of heavenly wisdom, is sincerity. And that's who they were. Their faith was sincere, and their wisdom also showed forth through that. You see, sincerity speaks of the character and the inner heart motivation of a person. That's what it speaks of. Their faith was not just a put-on act. It wasn't just a show. It was not fake or it wasn't false. They were genuine followers of Christ. And these women were women of integrity, because what they said and how they lived, was there was a cohesiveness between that. Those two things came together. And so there's integrity right there. And so sincerity of faith means that you teach your children what you yourself are doing. That's what it means. And so if you want to teach them about kindness, you got to be kind yourself. If you want to teach them about forgiveness, you got to be a forgiving person yourself. If you want to teach them about faithfulness, you got to be a faithful person yourself. That's what it means to be sincere. It would be insincere to teach one thing and to do something else altogether. What is interesting is that children most often will do what you do, not simply do what you say. Let me say that again. Children will most often do what you do and not just simply do what you say. They will be most like you in that sense, not like what you say. So it really matters how you live your life. You see, godly mothers teach children their God's word, but godly mothers also model a sincere faith for their children. And I love the example of Lewis and Eunice in this, and the effect and the impact that they had on Timothy, and the subsequent impact that Timothy had for the sake of the gospel of Christ. That's what it means to be a godly mother. That's what it means. Now, I don't say this to make you feel bad, and you know, you may look in and say, oh my goodness, I'm just not like that. I don't measure up in that way. And that's okay. That's okay. We're not at all saying that godly mothers are perfect human beings. Not at all. In fact, if you read Monica's story, and I think Augustine recalls this in his Confessions, he talks about his mother's own struggles. And she herself struggled at one point earlier on in her life with alcoholism, right? She used to drink, and it was, she was excessive at that until she left that habit and God brought her out of that. And so she had her weakness in that sense. And I'm sure, you know, as a mother, you have your weaknesses, you have your struggles. But the good thing is that God is gracious to you, and God loves you, and God will equip you, and He will enable you to do what He calls you to do. Motherhood is an incredibly high calling and a great responsibility. It is no easy task at all. And it definitely, definitely requires God's help for you to be able to be a faithful and a godly mother. And so the sermon is meant to help you, in a way to encourage you about practical things that you ought to be doing, but also to give you a sense of visionary leadership, right? It's about looking ahead to what you want to see your children become and be for God's glory. And if that's what you want to see them become, then you are willing now to put in the effort and the time that is required to enable them to get to that point. God has given you, more than any other human being, God has given you a tremendous influence over your children. God has given that to you as mothers. Use it well for His glory. Remember, motherhood is essentially visionary leadership. You are a visionary leader for your children, believing things about them and for them that they cannot yet see for themselves, and then doing the right things now at a cost to help them get there. May God bless you as you in turn are a blessing in the lives of your children. Let me take this moment to pray for you. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we've looked at through your word this morning, and for the example of Lewis and Eunice and the effect and the impact that they had on their son, Timothy. Thank you for the example of Monica and for the impact that she had on her son, Augustine, and how these men, these children in turn, had such a great impact for the sake of the gospel. And so, Lord, I want to pray for every mother that is listening in here this morning, that you would encourage them, Lord Jesus, that you would help them to understand the tremendous worth and value that is bestowed on them and the place of influence and the position of influence that they have in the lives of their children. Lord, often mothers can feel like they're in a thankless job, in a difficult position, because so much is demanded of them. And it seems like there's very little immediate fruit or satisfaction that comes from that. And yet I pray, Father, that you would help them to understand the long-term effect and impact of their lives, and that you would spur them on, Lord Jesus, that you would encourage them. Where there is discouragement and hopelessness, Lord, that you would renew their hope and that you would encourage them, that you would give them and empower them with the Spirit of God, and that he would enable them from inside to live in a renewed determination as mothers, teaching and instructing their children in your word and modeling a sincere faith for them. So I commit every mother, Lord, today into your hands. And I pray, Father, that you would give them a godly influence over the lives of their children. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for ministering to us at this time. We worship you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. You know, all the best to you as you teach and lead your children. And I hope the husbands are listening in as well, and you will be a supportive husband to your wife and to the mother of your children. And you will encourage them and spur them on and build them up and not be a hindrance to them in any way. God bless you. God be with you.